Well, last weekend we said hello and welcome to all of our new student parishioners, our freshmen. It's not lost on me that maybe, just maybe, some of our freshmen, this is your first Mass here at St. John Henry Newman. I'm sure most all of you were here last weekend, but it's possible maybe you missed last weekend, all right? I hear that. So I thought I would introduce myself again. My name is Father Bear. I'm the associate pastor here, and Father Dan Merz, who's walking around doing some hospitality, is the pastor, and you're joining a community of, as you can see, tons of young Catholics and fellow Mizzou students, and also a whole community of resident parishioners that we together all worship on Sundays and proclaim the gospel here at Mizzou. So I'm glad you're here, freshmen and new students. Now, it doesn't always work this way, but the Sunday readings, the gospel, picks up where it left off last weekend. Most Sundays, it's just kind of a standalone passage from the gospel that the church picks out for us. So the fact that we ended last Sunday on Matthew 16, verse 20, and this weekend we're picking up on verse 21 in chapter 16, we should kind of have alarm bells going off. Okay, what's going on here that the church decided to have us continue this gospel? Part of what the church is pointing out to us is why we all love Peter so much. All right, you got to go back to last weekend. We had that moment where Peter gloriously professes faith in Jesus. It's the first proclamation that Jesus is God, and Christ elevates Peter and entrusts him with the keys of the kingdom to prepare him to become the first pope. It's this marvelous, majestic moment in the life of Peter. He's, you know, probably on cloud nine. And then this weekend, Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." What a difference a week makes. Right? This is why we all love Peter so much, because he's pretty relatable, right? He can have those high highs and then hit rock bottom pretty quick and put his foot in his mouth, like many of us. So what happened? Peter began thinking, Jesus said, "Not as God does, but as human beings do." What is thinking as God does? Let's dive into what was happening here. Jesus was speaking of suffering. "It is necessary for you, if you're going to be my disciple, to take up your cross and follow me, because I am going to take up my cross." To us, we know the story. This makes sense, right? We're on the other side of the cross and resurrection. We know how it ends. But for these disciples, for these men following Jesus, the cross was still simply an execution device, a tool for torture used by the Romans. "Take up your cross, Jesus. What are you talking about?" To the disciples, to Peter, who had been following Jesus, learning from him, trusting that he would lead them back in glory to God, this made no sense. Jesus's prophecy of suffering was a real stumbling block for them. And so it was that you can almost imagine Peter kind of hearing this and like, all right, I got to tell Jesus what's what, and kind of taking him to the side and him saying, you know, don't make these claims, right? Don't talk like this, all right? It's going to kind of scare everybody away. I don't know what you're talking about, but let's just kind of push this to the side, back to the peace and love stuff. And Jesus, that's whenever it draws out from him that harsh and quick rebuke. "Get behind me, Satan. Your thinking is not as God does, but as human beings do." And then you can watch as Jesus turns to the rest of the disciples And that's when he lays it out there. Unless you take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So in light of all this, what is thinking as God does? It is to constantly be thinking of how I can give myself, how I can pour myself out in love to those around me, to give until it hurts. That's the mind of God. One of my favorite ways I've found to talk about following Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, is that it's learning just how much more each day I can give of myself than I thought I had the day before. That just when I feel like I've become empty, I've given all that I have to give, Jesus asks that little bit more. This is what St. Paul's talking about in the second reading. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual worship. That's the Christian way. That's the glory of being a disciple of Jesus. And also the pain. This is some of what Jeremiah was experiencing in the first reading. It's a fun one. Jeremiah's lamenting the fact that God has called him to this role as a prophet. You've duped me, O Lord, and I've let myself be duped. Or in other words, you've tricked me into this, God. Sometimes God calls us to something, and at first glance, it's glorious, and it's beautiful, and it's attractive, and we just think it's going to be the most wonderful thing, and then we get into it. And it's like, oh, the cross actually is the cross. Suffering's always going to be suffering. It demands a lot of us. This giving of our whole self, it hurts. My brother and sister-in-law, when they got married a few years ago, they run in these young Catholic circles, and they had all kinds of friends getting married, and they found after, as they were preparing for marriage, they'd have friends get married, and then, you know, 6 months in, they'd be at a party or grabbing dinner with them, and, you know, the whole kind of like, oh, how's marriage going, you know, newlyweds, and they found a couple of friends who came back with, like, the, oh, it is so beautiful. Marriage is just so wonderful. It's such a beautiful vocation, but it is a cross. I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, but it sucks sometimes. And they kind of were like, oh, that doesn't kind of sound too great, right? And so they had this bit after they got married where they would kind of go back and forth like, this is so beautiful, but you are a cross, you know, and this giving till it hurts, it does hurt. It's real, right? There's a suffering in whatever God calls us to, but it's not all drudgery and misery and it's not loathsome, right? The burden is light. There's a paradox here. When Jesus calls us into something difficult, when we keep eyes on him, it's actually what we want. The sweetness of the sacrifice can draw us back again and again. The image of Mother Teresa laboring, sweating in the slums of India, just day after day in the heat and the illness and the ugliness and the smell, but loving people deeply, we want that. The images of St. John Paul the Great, I like to call him, leaning on his cross with, you can see in his face, the weight of the world on his shoulders, but trusting and faithful and hopeful. We want that. Right? We want that heroic laying down of our lives. We want the heroic sacrifice, the striving after great things. Maybe to bring it a little closer to home, the mom who day in and day out is sharing her all of her time, all of her space, all of her heart, all of her ears with her children. We want that. Or her husband, equally exhausted, listening deeply to his wife, sharing the burden with her, carrying her emotions with him, and them carrying it together. We want that. That is why God tricks us into following him. Because left to ourselves, we'd choose the things that leave us unfulfilled in the end. But when we choose to put him first and pour out again and again, day after day, giving more of ourselves, responding courageously to whatever God calls us to, that is the pearl of great price. That is the sacrifice, the fulfillment, the satisfaction that every human heart longs for. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will indeed find it.